Folks, welcome back to Beer and Business. Darren and I in studio today had a big discussion talking about arguably the most important topic on everybody's mind, and that is COVID-19 and the economy, and where do we go from here?
And check the facts.
Check the facts. Huge discussion. Hope you guys love it.
Thank you for calling Launch and Go. This is Darren.
Darren, hey, this is Gary B., internet sensation, motivational speaker, marketing expert. How you doing, buddy?
Good. This is Gary Vanderchuk?
No, this is Gary Billings from Indiana. Gary Vanderchuk wishes he was me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I'm the sensation. Right. I'm the one people want to listen to.
Okay, Gary B., well, why are you calling Launch and Go today?
Well, listen, I got to get on the show. I'm a motivational guy. I got to help your audience. Listen, I'm going to prove it to you.
You want to be on the Beer and Business podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to prove it to you.
Okay.
You're growing your business launching show, right?
Launch and grow, yes.
So you, when you're thinking about stuff and you run into issues, you got to think outside the rocks.
You mean outside the box?
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. No, outside the rocks. You got to think outside the rocks.
All right. What else you got for me, Gary? Come on.
Because when you grow it, you got to stay ahead of the snack. Because here's the thing.
Stay ahead of the what?
Stay ahead of the snack. Because
what does that mean, Gary?
Good God. Listen, it's going to get tough for you, right? You know, things are, when the tough gets going, okay, the stuff starts snowing. And you got to pick yourself up by your boots and hats.
Tough gets going, though.
Yeah. Stuff starts snowing.
Why would it snow?
Listen, you know, life is like a chair.
Life is like a box of chocolates, Gary.
No, when life hands you lemonade, you're having lemons, okay? Because here's the thing. Your audience needs to know this, okay? Because if you're going to be successful in your business, you got to know that it's easy come, it's easy throw, okay?
Gary.
Yeah.
Gary, maybe you should Google some of these phrases and so you'll get them right. But
listen, you can't count your chickens before they match.
Oh, good Lord.
Do you have
any other thing, anything, a good reason why you should be on the show? Because right now I'm not getting anything, Gary.
Listen, okay? Here's the thing. You got to get me on. I got to talk about my YouTube channel. It's the hottest thing. Because you know, when you get knocked down, okay, you got to back up.
You do.
You don't put all your eggs in one casket, man. This is real stuff.
Oh, good Lord. Gary,
Listen, just get me on the show, and what we're going to do is we're going to put the cart in the horse, and I'm going to take the bull by the thorns. And that's it, man. We're going to take the world.
Hey, Gary, where's the carrot go?
Get me on the show. Anyway, I got to get on the show and talk. My YouTube channel's got 32 subscribers, but it's about to throw up. You got to get me on. Come on, get me on the show.
Unfortunately, Gary, we can't have you on the show, and I got to say goodbye. Have a great day now.
Mom, he said no. Bullshit.
Welcome to Beer and Business. You found the best podcast for entrepreneurs. We serve crafty business knowledge, comedy, and yes, beer. And now it's time for our hosts. If he were to pat you on the back, you'd list it on your resume. It's Jake Mullins. And his beer never gets warm. It just sits there, staying frosty, waiting for him. Mr. John Winnie. And if you spell his name in Scrabble, you automatically win. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Darren Flanagan.
All right, Darren, we're live, buddy. Here we are.
Woohoo!
Before we get into, we got an important podcast today, but before we get into all that, we've got to start with the beer today. This is a new one, but kind of new recipe, right?
It's a brand new recipe.
So we're drinking the official beer, the Beer and Business podcast, Lion Creek. And dude, you know what I like about this? Chinchillin.
What's that?
This is a session IPA.
It is. It's a 5%er.
Yeah, which actually is really important because today, like all the rage is big IPAs, big flavor. So even if it's not a double, they're usually high gravity, 6-7% range. Get into the doubles, they get into 10%. Sometimes it's nice just to knock back some low gravity beer.
It is. And it's got the flavor, though. I like it.
Tell me about the flavor, man.
It's a dry, you know, it is a dry hop finish. They took a lot of the fruit out of it because they have enough fruity IPAs. And I mean, 5%, it's like I could drink this IPA all day long as opposed to drinking that watery, beery stuff that people
This actually has flavor.
Mm-hmm. It has flavor. I love it.
It's really good. It's got just a little kind of fruit aftertaste, but not much. Mm-hmm. But it is. It's dry and it's easy. Like some dry beers really kind of finish strong.
Who would have thunk you could have a nice little session IPA?
Yeah, this is really good.
I love it.
We might have to drink several of these because we're having a big conversation today.
Yep. You can find it in the stores and you can find it on tap.
Yes, you can. So make sure you run out and get some if you're in the Atlanta area. Line Creek Brewing Chinchillin Session IPA. It's really good.
Yummers.
All right. This might be one of the most important episodes we've ever done.
Dun, da, da, da. Are we celebrating an anniversary?
No. Oh, we have to have an important conversation. And the scary thing is it's just you and I.
Oh, boy.
So a couple of knuckleheads. But I want to preface something. So today we're going to be talking about some facts. And some of those might be shocking to you about COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make our case for how we reopen the economy, not just in the U.S., but kind of around the world. And this is a really big one. And we're going to share with you some information today. We're going to share some facts. We're going to share some opinions. But what I want to preface, and I think this is probably the most important thing for you, is the facts that we share, don't believe us. Don't take our word for us. We're just a couple of knuckleheads drinking beer.
Even though we have researched them. You have researched
I have,
these
absolutely.
Facts. You didn't make them up. You didn't like wiki them.
That's right.
And do it. So,
but the reason why we want you to do this is we want you to get into the habit of going out and doing your own fact checking, come to your own conclusions, because there's so many outlets that we're supposed to trust that have been lying to us. And you'll hear us go through those today and make that case. And it's kind of shocking in some cases. Yeah. It really is. But I think the most logical place for us to start this conversation around COVID-19 is to go back to the beginning. Right. So, you know, I don't know about you, Darren, but in the December, January, February timeframe, there was a little bit of story about this COVID thing over in China and it, you know, spread to a couple of countries. But I don't think anybody was really paying attention.
Were you? No, not really. Just a little bit. You know, it's like it's one of those things you can see it off in the. Yeah. So, you know, it's a byline as opposed to a headline. And then you just saw it snowball.
Yeah. Well, it was weird because, you know, I'm in the same boat. I wasn't really paying attention to it. I heard some stuff. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I got real work going on. Yeah. Like it never even crossed my mind as something that would become what it did.
Because it was in China.
You know? Jida. Excuse me. You guys say it right. It's Jida. So, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But I didn't pay attention to it until beginning of March.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was it started with some recommendations and guidelines that made you go, what? This might be kind of serious, to shut down, you know, quarantine, shelter in place within like, it felt like a week to 10 days. I mean, it was incredibly fast how it escalated.
Happened on my birthday, actually, I believe here was the first day of quarantine, wasn't it?
When's your birthday?
March 18th.
It was very close to that. Yeah, I don't know the exact
like
date.
Right within that parameter. It's like, boom, it might be a few days up. Anyway, fact check it, people.
Well, here's the thing. So I do know one date. So on March 16th was the day that there was a report from Neil Ferguson's team. He's a professor at Imperial College in London. And it got an incredible amount of attention because the president, Dr. Fauci, talked about it. That was the day when they announced the shelter in place actions and all the really big moves.
Right.
And in this in this report, it was modeled that there would be 2.2 million people dead in the U.S.
That's a shocking number in the U.S.
That's the shocking number. And that's really what sparked this big response.
Was it just 2.2 million dead in the U.S. or was it 2.2 million dead in the U.S. because of COVID?
Because of COVID.
Okay. Well, I mean, they could leave that as a dangling participle.
No, it's because of COVID.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, and I'm going to be completely honest with everybody because I always believe in transparency. When all this stuff started, I was a skeptic.
You were like, you would not admit it.
Well, it's not that I wouldn't admit it. I was just really skeptical of what I was hearing.
Well, some of this stuff, I mean, kind of your position certain times when we'd have a conversation was almost like it was an army was invading us. And you're like, hell no, they're not coming in. You know, when I talked to you, that was kind of the impression that I was getting, like, no, nope, we're still going to do our thing and I'll give a crap no matter what. And it's like, well, this is a virus. This is different.
Well, here's the thing.
And I do, and to think about it, because it's been so blurry, I think it was February that I first took note of this because it was happening in Europe. It's like, okay, it's gone across Asia. It's making its way around the world. And, you know, Italy was the, now that I think about it, it was like Italy just completely, they were one of just shut down completely. They were having, everybody was falling out there. So, and then as it moved ahead, it's like, oh shit, it is coming this way. We can't stop this thing.
Well, here's the thing. I was skeptical and I've kind of gone through different iterations, but the one thing with me is when this report came out and it talked about 2.2 million dead, that's when I was like, you know what? This might be a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, and I, along with probably every one of you listening, was like, okay, if we're dealing with something that serious, I'm in.
Right.
Let's do this. We're going to figure it out. I remember my mindset when all the shelter in place stuff went into place. You couldn't help but be worried about your business or your job. Mm-hmm. Everybody was. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get some projects done around the house. I'm going to spend some time with family. I got it. Okay. And I was good. And I was like, you know, I may not have this right. I may be completely wrong. So I was willing to admit that. I think a lot of people were, because in order for us to take such drastic action, I mean, you got to kind of believe that this is going to be serious.
Right.
We wouldn't do it over a common cold and flu season. So if we're going to do this, better damn be serious.
Right.
Here's a fact, though. And this is a big one. And I did not realize this until recently when I started doing homework, because, you know, I'm back to being skeptical.
Your homework or the kids' homework, because they had to be homeschooled?
I can't do their homework. They do Common Core math. I don't understand that at all. That shit's, you talk about complicated. Yeah. Like, you do what?
Huh? Carry the what from the where?
I don't get it. You're counting blocks? I thought, But anyways, this report from Neil Ferguson, the 2.2 million dead in the U.S.
Yeah.
Fauci and Trump and every other political leader, the media, everybody was referring to this report.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. If you're in a position of power and somebody comes to you with something that salacious, you think maybe you do a little bit of homework?
Or you have a team who's going to do their homework for you.
Sure. Well,
but
go look this up. The same Dr. Ferguson from the Imperial College of London also had extremely sensational death estimates for mad cow disease, bird flu, swine flu, and a few other things.
Holy cow.
And I mean, when
How
I say since,
was he?
Oh, over 90%. I mean, ridiculous. I found this out in a couple minutes.
Is the Imperial College like a real college in London? Or is it one of these online schools?
Well, Imperial for beer means double. So I guess it's
a double
the price.
I'm just wondering what kind of professor he is. I mean, if he's any type of...
He's a doctor.
Well,
Gary Vee's
a motivational speaker, but I don't think anybody's going to be following him.
Poor Gary Vee should follow his YouTube channel. He needs his 33rd subscriber. But no, this guy, he had a track record of being a sensationalist and doing these wild estimates. And here we are making incredible decisions based on a report from the guy that's been wrong every time he's done this before.
Well, the biggest, worst news that you can put out there by a supposed expert is, fact check that really
quick. Do your research. Neil Ferguson's report, Dr. Ferguson from Imperial College London. It was his report that sparked this.
Wow. I mean, we did an episode in the beginning. I know you were giving us numbers based on the CDC, the comparison between COVID and influenza. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, I remember seeing that billboard and how many deaths from driving this year in Georgia. And it's like, well, this ought to, I mean, do the math, folks.
Yep.
It's not quite...
Well,
that's strange. What else
do
you get?
The thing that's and this is a fact, and I want you guys to take all these facts, go research them, draw your own conclusions. But all of this in the beginning was predicated on modeling. And here's the thing. This was, if you go back and you remember, this was not presented to us like, hey, there's a chance it could be as high as 2.2 million, but it's probably going to be this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the range
less.
Is from here to here. The way that it was presented to us from the media and from government was, there's going to be 2.2 million dead. Right. If we don't do something, 2 million Americans dead. Almost one in 100 people is going to die.
I guess they feel scare tactics work best.
Yeah, but this is out in the open.
Yeah.
This is facts. These are out in the open. And that's a big deal. So, okay, I was in. Mm-hmm. You were in, everybody's like, okay, this is serious. I'm going to do my part. So then we get into, you know, the first few weeks of quarantine. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, and God, it's hard. It's hard to believe it's been 3 months.
I know.
Middle of March, you know, now blur. It's, you know, June 19th. Yeah, we've been doing this for more than 3 months.
Stupor for the whole time. And that's all.
And, you know, we've got, I have consumed a lot more bourbon than normal. But we've been at this now for 3 months. We're not back to normal. Even the states that are quote unquote opening for business, they're not back to normal.
No. And there's ones that are still, I mean, on serious lockdown. Mm-hmm. And they have like no, I mean, they have counties way out there that haven't even seen cases at all. But
the thing is in the beginning, we, you know, there was a ton, good God, the media coverage on this thing was breathless. It was crazy. And I remember when all this stuff started happening, I had to shut the news off because I just couldn't watch anymore. You'd think the whole world's coming to an end. And I, from day one, I'm a data guy. Mm-hmm. Give me the information. I want to understand it. And when it comes to data, from the beginning, it was flawed, you know? And so let's go back to March when they started, the CDC started counting COVID. Mm-hmm. They were counting cases and they were counting deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here are some things. And again, these are facts. You can go research these. In the beginning, in the first month, let's call it, they were reporting confirmed cases of COVID. And what that means was you had to have a COVID test positive in order for the CDC to count it as a case.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, they were also counting deaths.
Yes.
And the deaths, you did not have to have a confirmed COVID test. It was just a suspicion. You mm-hmm. know, they had symptoms. They never got a test, but we suspect it could be COVID. Okay.
Well, there was something else that I had read on one side. And I was having this conversation with somebody and like, well, I didn't read that. And I'm like, well, here it is. And they came through the AP press or whatever. And it was, CDC was telling hospitals, it doesn't matter. As long as it's not a gunshot or a suicide, you can check that. If it was a death, you could just check COVID. I don't know if you read the same thing.
I did.
We talk about,
and it's right on the CDC's website.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing. Like from the beginning,
it's like, we're going to try to hit this 2.2 number and here's how we're going to do it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of motivation and we'll get into that. But the fact is, you know, going back to what we know for sure, is in the beginning, we were only counting confirmed cases and it was estimated deaths. Okay. But we also know in that first month, there was two things that happened on the cases. Number one, there was no tests. Mm-hmm. So for how long did we hear everybody in the media, doctors, hospitals, everybody clamoring because there's no tests.
Right.
So how many people had it in that period of time that never got confirmed? Don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the other thing. We also know during that time that if you did not have health risks, you did not have underlying conditions, you were told to either stay away from hospitals or doctor's offices so mm-hmm. you didn't spread it if you thought you had it,
mm-hmm.
or if you came in and the doctors thought you had it, they would not test you because they were saving tests for at-risk patients. So in the beginning—
Did not know that.
In the beginning, yes. Go back and read. This stuff is all out there in the open. These are facts, so you can figure this out. All that stuff is absolutely true. So we know that the confirmed cases were suppressed. By how much? I have no clue. Nobody does, right? But we know that the actual confirmed cases in the beginning were lower than reality. On the flip side, we also know that the deaths were higher. Why? Because we didn't have to have confirmation. Anybody could just, hey, I think.
Right.
So in that very critical window in the beginning, and this is why I want to bring this up, because again, this is all context and it kind of helps explain why we're at the place we're at now. In that first month, not only did we have this report from Ferguson, 2.2 million dead, but we also saw what was looking to be a really high mortality rate on this disease.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, you know, I heard estimates from anywhere 4% to 6 or 8%. Everybody's speculating. But you start looking at that and you're like, oh, my God, if I get COVID-19, I got a 1 in 10 chance of dying.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in the beginning, added to the fear that people were feeling, added to the pressure that companies and governments thought that they needed to take more draconian action than we were already taking. And it was programming us to fear each other.
Yeah.
Oh, it was programming us to not want to shake people's hands, to not want to be around other people, and to be fearful of other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But that's what was happening in the very early days, and it was all predicated on bad data.
Oh, boy.
Facts. Again, these are facts.
Right. Oh, no, I'm with you.
Then what happened in April is the reporting for COVID cases also changed. So in the beginning, it was confirmed. Then the CDC changed it to probable. So now when you look at the total number of people that have COVID-19, and these numbers are cumulative, by the way. I looked the other day and I thought it was like, it's close to 2 million. So 2 million people have had COVID-19 now.
Okay. In the U.S. Mm-hmm. or worldwide?
In the U.S.
In the U.S. Okay.
But now that number is inflated by, oh, well, you've got some symptoms. I think you have it.
Kind of, sort of, maybe not the kind of thing. Check the box, yes.
Yeah, okay. Sure, I think so.
I feel like I've got it.
Yeah.
I have a little boo-boo right here on my hand. That's COVID, right?
Yeah. So now we've got this. And by the way, you know the CDC has never done this? In any other viral outbreak, on all the tracking, there has never been this tracking. Again, guys, fact, look it up. There's never been estimated deaths or estimated cases. It's always confirmed.
Who the hell is pushing who's the puppet master behind that then? That's like telling them, hey, you guys loosen it up, or have they had a change in administration that's like done this?
Well, here's the thing. And when it comes to the numbers, I have a couple of assumptions.
Okay? Lobbyists.
Well, no, I want to step back even further. Okay. And again, this is me drawing conclusions. So these are not facts. I want you to go do the research on the facts and come to these on your own. So I'm trying to separate these things. I believe firmly that the actual number of COVID cases is much higher than what we've recorded. And I also think that the deaths are much lower.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to the actual cases. All right. So in that first month when, you know, it was spreading the most rapid.
Right.
We were missing how many people because we didn't have tests and we weren't testing healthy people. No clue. We have no clue.
Right.
But we did miss a significant number. But then what we've learned over time, and there's been several studies on this. So this is something you can go look up. But there's been all these random studies that will take people and just give them COVID tests. And there's all these significant, like all these different, studies that have been done show a significant percentage of people that have COVID-19 and have zero symptoms, asymptomatic.
Right.
Asymptomatic means I don't feel sick at all.
Thank goodness.
Somebody, you know, does my nose swab and is like, you have COVID-19. Like, for real? I feel fine.
I know a couple here in town who had it. And they're older. They're higher risk, but I mean, they eat well and everything else. And they both went and got tested. They're like, we're not feeling good. They basically went on quarantine for a month.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, it was like having the flu.
Yeah.
For them.
But there's a lot of people that even had symptoms.
And they're alive.
Yeah. Well, I know. There's a lot of people that have had symptoms.
Right.
And, you know, they don't go and get tested because they don't feel sick enough to mm-hmm. think that it's COVID. It's like, I got a cold or I got a sore throat or whatever. And then it's gone in a couple of days. Turns out it was COVID. There's some people that never have any symptoms at all, but there's all that. Is that millions of people? Is it hundreds of thousands? I don't know.
Right.
But we know that that's the truth. So the number of confirmed cases has to be higher than it is. But let's talk about the deaths, because that's the one that's really the most controversial.
Sure.
I believe, again, this is not a fact, but I'm going to talk you through the facts that help me draw this conclusion. I believe that the death toll could be more than double what it actually is. So what the CDC is reporting, I think, could be inflated by more than double. And I'll tell you why I believe that.
I'm kind of amazed because you were so opposite and now you're coming up with, this is bigger on both accounts. So I'm listening now.
I think that they're half. I think that what the actual deaths are half of what the CDC is reporting,
mm-hmm.
just so we're clear.
Okay.
Here's why I say that. Okay. Number one, and again, this is something that you can go look up. there's been several states. And by the way, all the reporting state to state is different. So there's no standards. It's kind of a shit show, honestly.
Kind of like the voting system.
Yeah, it's nuts.
State to state.
But some states have come out and provided some information on the actual number of dead compared to tests. And from what I can see, one of the lowest states is about 25%, meaning that of all the COVID deaths, 25% of them never got a test.
Okay.
That's the most optimistic. Some of the others are, you know, 30, 40%. So imagine that. You got all these deaths with when there was never a COVID test done.
Just checking the box.
Checking the box. But did some of those people have COVID? Probably. But was it all of them? Oh, I seriously doubt that.
No.
Seriously doubt it. And it brings up this other question too, which we'll talk about. But, you know, even if somebody has COVID and they test positive, is it a death with COVID or a death by COVID?
Right.
That's a really important distinction.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got a certain subset of people that aren't even tested. That's one fact. You can go out there and look. I don't know what the number is for the entire U.S. Maybe some states are doing better at this, and maybe it turns out to be 10% or 20%. I don't know. But there is a significant group of people that have been marked cause of death, right, COVID, that never got tested. That's a fact. Here's another fact. This death by COVID and death with COVID, it's a big deal. So now there's been one state that's come out. It's Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado has come out and they went back and revised their COVID death numbers. Because what they did is they tried to sift through the information and figure out who died simply with COVID, but not by COVID. Good example, right, that is, guy dies of a massive heart attack,
mm-hmm,
got a severe blockage in his artery, comes into the hospital, they can't revive him, guy dies, but they also find out that, oh, he had COVID-19 in his system. So COVID didn't kill him.
Right.
He died from heart disease. That clogged artery took years and years, right, of bacon and, you know, poor eating habits, no exercise, you know, no activity to get him to that point. Not COVID.
No, it's just coincidental.
It could be totally coincidental, because it could be that he never even got a symptom,
right,
from it. He just happened to die when he had COVID in his system.
And some people will, I know some of these deaths, and I can hear people now, and I'll be the devil's advocate here, will be like, well, yes, they died of this, but because they had COVID, they had a more compromised immune system at the time and they weren't strong enough. So we'll just call it by COVID. And it's like, no, you can't play semantics on this, people.
Well, and that's the thing. We don't report other infectious diseases that way.
No.
So if we're going to do that, we need to do it with all and do an apples to apples comparison. But right now you've got, like, if we're comparing it to norovirus, or we're comparing it to influenza, or we're comparing it to, you know, whatever, mark the infectious disease,
mm-hmm,
you have to do an apples to apples comparison. You can't do one way and every other a different way.
Well, the person had COVID, but they also had a venereal disease, so they died of the venereal disease, but it was just gonorrhea. But you know, what about the COVID thing?
Well, here's the thing, dude.
Do you really want me to check that box, Doc?
Yeah. He had what in his rectum? Oh, Jesus.
Okay, let's not go down that path, quote unquote.
I've got some emergency room doctors that have told me stories.
Yeah.
Anyways, so going back to the Colorado thing.
I'm glad Colorado did this.
When they did the study, they dropped their COVID deaths by 25%. Because they found a lot of them where COVID was present.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, this is not the ones that weren't tested, because those you can't do this validation.
Right.
So for the ones that did have a positive test, they went back and they looked at the records and they determined these were death because of COVID, these were death with COVID. And their numbers dropped by 25% when they did that. That's important.
Is it just for the stats, or is there some funding that's coming in behind this for the hospitals to help them? Based on the numbers of deaths, because I don't know the answer to that. And I know some people get
Well, that's the thing.
Pissed when you start talking about, well, it's not about the money. So I don't know. I mean, why would, is it because they want to look better with their, you know, we projected this. We're going to have egg on our face if we don't hit these numbers.
Well, again,
let's. Dr. Imperial over there.
It's a great question. Let's go back to the facts that we do know. We do know that there are studies out there on states and how many of their deaths did not have any COVID testing. Mm-hmm. You can look that up. Go look up the Colorado thing. It's real. There's information out there. You can find it in, you know, 20 seconds. That stuff is real. To answer your question about motivation, there's a lot of motivation here. And that's the thing that's most troubling to me. So when you look at those folks that would mark cause of death, mm-hmm. you've got political motivation because this has become very politicized, mm-hmm. and not just government politics, but also the medical community as a whole. Right now, there's this whole thing where we did really, really big damage to the economy.
Oh, yeah.
We took massive actions. Nobody wants to raise their hand and say, you know, maybe we went a little too far.
Yeah.
And this is all predicated on medical professionals, and there's a lot of politics in medicine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this has got to look like something serious enough to where these actions were justified.
Right.
And let me be very, very clear. Not every doctor is on board with this.
No, they're not.
The vast majority of doctors are very, very good, very honest, and they would never do it. But there are some that would do it.
And in the doctors, they do understand, and they do take the disease itself seriously, the virus itself seriously, and they are taking the precautions just as they should. I mean, the procedures that they have put in place are to protect them, protect everybody around, and I understand that. And mm-hmm. Good for them for doing that. They should, especially when they're exposed to it all day long,
right.
Whether they believe in it or not. Those procedures are there. And I know a lot of people bitch and moan about that. Oh my gosh, I got to go in here and they want to take my temperature and make me wear a mask and do this. Yes. And just do it. Okay. But back to what you're saying.
Well, there's the political motivation, but then there's also the financial one. Mm-hmm. So when the CARES Act was passed.
The what?
The CARES Act.
Yeah, I still think we're trying to figure out what the hell, how that really goes. It's
a big steaming pile of.
Yeah.
But one of the things that was in there was extra payments towards hospitals. And the thought process behind it, if you go back and look this up, was there was this idea that hospitals were going to be overcrowded, that they're going to be overrun. And so they needed extra funding to deal with this wave of, you know, 2.2 million people that were going to die from this virus. Mm-hmm. And so they gave extra funding for COVID. And, you know, oh boy, now you got the fox watching the hen house.
Right.
Because what actually happened was that the hospitals were empty. So, you know, the thought was they were going to be packed to the gills. They're going to have to take all these actions, build temporary wings and do all this crazy stuff.
Park it was the Navy ship in the harbor in New York City right. for their overflow cases.
Which never saw patients. And that happened all over the place.
Yeah.
So there was this thinking that we got to get them extra money. Well, what happened was they became ghost towns and they're still trying to make payroll.
Right.
Revenues have dropped by 70%. And it's like, well, gee, you know, Johnny here just died on the table. And, you know, if we just put COVID on there, get some extra money, you know, and if it's just a COVID death, I think it's like $8,000 more. If they're on an incubator, it's over 30 grand more.
Wow.
In federal funding from the CARES Act.
They're finding out that CPAPs work better than the ventilators.
Well, and that's another. Saying,
but anyway, yeah. But and now I will say this, regardless, does the hospital deserve the money? Okay, yes, they took extreme actions. They basically stay alive on, you know, they keep their doors open because of all the other practices. They got to go somewhere to do elective surgeries and all that. All that shit was wiped out completely. That's where they earn their dollars.
So, and here's the thing. Again, going back to the doctors,
we
right?
We need those hospitals.
We do. And going back to the doctors, again, like I said, I think most doctors are absolutely honest, above board, great. Some of them aren't. Some of them are assholes. Some of them aren't good at what they do. I mean, just like every profession, there's good doctors, there's bad doctors. But the one thing that I will tell you is it's kind of hard to blame the hospitals.
It is.
You know, because they were put in a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's, oh my gosh, revenues are down. And, you know, hey, Dr. Flanagan, I know that patient just died of a heart attack, but do you think it's possible that they could have had COVID? Well, I don't know. Well, do you think it's possible? Because if it's possible, it could be good for the hospital. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. It's possible. Great. There we go. Turn it into the CDC, because all we have to have is just probable suspicion that it could have been. And then it doesn't matter if they died from it. If they just died with it, that's good enough. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that just because of the motivation, there's more deaths recorded than have actually been occurred as a result of COVID.
Right.
Is it 10%? Is it 50%? I don't know.
Never know.
I don't know. But I do know that it's inflated just because of the motivation alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad, but if you're honest with yourself and you take all the data points that we know,
mm-hmm.
it's a very logical conclusion that yes, that's happening.
I have a side question about that, because I wonder how long the virus stays in the body after the fact. If they had it, if they had the virus, how long did it stay in the body after death? Is it just kind of sitting there? Is that something where they're like, yeah, we need to cremate all these bodies?
Who knows?
You can still have an open casket. We'll do the embalming thing.
I'm not a virologist. I don't know. But
no, I don't know either. But it's kind of like they wouldn't be able to go back and even check after the man. We had to burn them.
Oh, well, and their
practices say we've got to burn all these bodies now.
Well, they're not doing autopsies on them either.
I know.
So, you know, but
surprise, surprise.
But here's something else that I found really interesting. And you said it a minute ago, ventilators. So in the beginning, going back to March and early April, oh my God, how much did we hear about ventilators?
They do.
Oh my God, everybody's got to make ventilators. We're going to have a shortage. And it was
more harm than good.
Mm-hmm. I did some research and I found a really wild, shocking, fascinating statistic. You ready for this?
Hold on. Let me finish pouring my beer.
Yeah. What are we drinking here?
I am drinking another new one.
Orangey Sun.
Orangey Sun. So this is part of the Wayward Sun series. You know, Wayward Sun's that golden ale, and this is Orangey Sun.
Mm, it smells really citrusy.
Light, refreshing, smooth, and crisp. And this is a 4.5. Another good summertime
beer. Oh, that's really good.
Got a little hint of vanilla. Did you get that yet?
Yeah.
It's like a light creamsicle.
Yeah, it's really good. Maybe we should just quit the podcast and just sit here and drink the rest of it.
Sit outside on the back of the pickup truck and have a little tailgate party.
Yeah. All right. So going back to my shocking stat.
Ventilators.
Mm-hmm. So prior to COVID, you know, just in general, what percentage of people do you think survive once put on a ventilator?
Survive.
Mm-hmm.
15.
It's lower than that.
Holy shit.
So there's a lot
single
of studies.
Digits?
Yes, single digits. It's thought to be, there's been many studies on this. And if you go out and search for it, you're going to find that there's a lot of studies, but most of them agree that it's high single digits.
So once you're put on a ventilator,
you got about a 1 in 10% chance of coming off.
Or coming along. Yeah, wow.
And you know what? I actually heard a doctor talking about this on a podcast. So this is me reiterating something that I heard. So this is, you know, do your own work on this one. But he was talking about dealing with COVID patients. And in the beginning, he had all this pressure to put COVID patients on ventilators. And his thought process was that once they go on the ventilator, the lungs no longer have to work as hard. And the body knows that. And it starts to weaken because now the machine's doing the work. And he said that that's one of the reasons why a lot of ventilator patients don't come back off, because the body then starts to depend on the machine.
Holy cow.
And it stops doing its own work. He didn't have any COVID deaths. This particular doctor didn't have any, but he also didn't put anybody on ventilators. How many people that had COVID were put on ventilators that probably shouldn't have been?
Right.
And never made it back off the table.
That was just the standard. Somebody decided this is going to be procedure and this is what happens.
And, you know, it's hard to blame. There's not a lot of information and, you know, it was kind of chaotic.
It did. It happened so fast and they thought they were doing the right thing and doing the best thing. But did they correct that course of action over time?
Right now, what you're finding is there's, and this is one thing that you will see if you go out and do your research, there is a lot more consensus from doctors to not put people on ventilators.
Okay.
To actually put them on
Put them on CPAPs?
Yes, CPAPs. And give them other forms of oxygen without putting, without intubating them. Not intubating them. Sorry, I'm not a doctor, it's as you can tell.
Didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Well, even if I did, I'd still sound like an idiot. but seriously, man, there's people, I guarantee, you go out and do your homework and you start finding this stuff out, you'll come to the conclusion that people died because they were put on ventilators that shouldn't have been. They should have, you know, let their body do the work as hard as it was to breathe or short of breath. But, you know, a lot of people went through that, you know, without being on ventilators and made it.
I see a class action lawsuit coming in. There's going to be some lawyer.
Very well happen.
This is going to be like the smoking thing back in 90, whatever. You remember that? That's huge class action lawsuits. This is going to be another big one.
I've heard speculation that that could happen.
Wow.
But the facts are, look up the facts on incubators. I mean, the survival rate's very, very low, regardless of what the condition is. You know, so you start to put all these things together, and that's why I think that the death toll that we're looking at from COVID could be more than double over inflated.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that, because when you start looking at all the data, it's like, man, there's, first of all, you have to look at all this stuff and say, okay, it's inflated. The question is by how much?
Yeah.
And I'm speculating on half. It could, I don't know what the number is, but I think it's going to be material, whatever it is. And it's just hard to refute once you look at the facts that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
And something else, Darren, that really bugs me. So going back to
the fact that you have to podcast with me every week.
No, that just annoys me.
Oh, okay. It was your choice, by the way.
Not my, you know, I know. The other thing that really bugs me is, if you remember when all this stuff started, we were told that this is unprecedented. This has never happened before.
Right. But it has.
Right. So there's two pieces to this. Number one, have there ever been any outbreaks that have been more serious than this one?
Yes.
Yeah. Big. I mean, there's, you know, Spanish flu.
1909?
Plague.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many outbreaks that have been way deadlier than this one.
Mm-hmm.
So when all this stuff started happening, for the media to talk about the fact that this is so unprecedented, we've never seen anything this deadly before, that's just straight up not true.
Yeah.
We've seen way deadlier outbreaks than this. And at times when medicine wasn't nearly as advanced as it is now, we didn't have the communication methods that we do now. We couldn't get information back and forth as quickly. We didn't have video conferencing. We didn't have internet, mm-hmm. you know.
Some people are like, I can't even believe you guys live during times like that. How did you survive each day without internet?
Well,
really?
During the plague, you remember during the plague, they thought that it was being spread by cats. So they started killing the cats.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember reading about this? So they killed the cats because they thought that that's how it was spreading. But come to find out, it was actually the mice and rats that were spreading it.
It was the fleas, actually. Well, they were, the rats and mice were the carriers. It was the fleas.
Right.
So they killed the one thing that was killing them.
I know.
Oops.
Oh, shit. Bob, did you tell me it was the cats? I mean, whoopsie. But hence again, it's disingenuous.
Boom of rat terrier dogs and those things.
It's completely disingenuous for us to think that, or to position that we've never seen anything like this before.
Not, somebody jumped the gun. They thought it was something. Oops, made a mistake. Now we really got to figure out how to rectify this thing.
We do.
Hence the Pied Piper.
Here's the other part about this, you know, this disease being unprecedented, this virus being unprecedented, that's total BS. So I even hate calling it COVID-19 because it's actually SARS-CoV-2.
SARS? I've heard that before. When did we have that?
2002, SARS outbreak. Mm-hmm. 2002 and 2003 was the SARS outbreak. This is something I got to tell you. I didn't even know this until a couple weeks ago when I started doing some research. So I had no clue, but I did, you know, I'm fascinated by the facts. So I'm doing some digging. And you never hear anybody talk about SARS. I mean, you hear anybody in government or media talking about SARS and trying to figure out what can we learn about SARS to apply to this one? You hear nothing. I think I know why. So there are some distinct differences between SARS 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some similarities. So just so everybody's clear, and go back again, do your homework, because these are facts, folks. SARS-CoV-1 was, it started in 2002 in where?
China.
And it was believed to come from a what?
Bat.
A bat. Thank you very much. SARS-CoV-1, yeah. It was believed to jump to humans from bats, originated in China. It did not have
Curat or something as well. There was a bat and then there was like a cat-like thing.
Yeah.
So it was from the...
But it was believed to have originated from the bats. Yeah. And going back to SARS-CoV-1, it was not as infectious as the disease or the virus that we're dealing with today, but it was deadlier. So the mortality rate was worse. But there are some very distinct similarities between these two viruses and how they attack the body and their structure and all that kind of stuff. Again, I'm not a virologist. I'm not a doctor. So I'm not having that conversation with you. But what I am saying is we have seen a version of this virus before that is now mutated into COVID-2. Mm-hmm. Okay. But here's what nobody's talking about and what I find extremely fascinating. Do you know what happened to SARS-CoV-1?
As far as...
Do you know where it went?
It went to...
Nobody does, yeah. Right? Because it was 2003. That's a long time ago. We were at war. It was kind of one of those things where nobody really paid attention. SARS-CoV-1 just disappeared. And if you go look this up, you go search this, virologists have no idea why. It just vanished. The virus weakened and poof, gone.
Hmm.
That's it. They never had a chance to make a vaccine for it.
Right.
They never had a chance to cure it.
Because that was my next question. Is it in, you know, when you go get your flu vaccine each year, they take a little bit of strand of certain flus, you know, mm-hmm. virus, and they inject you with that to help you build up the antibodies, just like they did not put the H1N1 in this year, even though that was another big one.
Whoopsie.
Yeah. So SARS-1 has never been in that. Part of that flu injection annual
never
flu shot.
There's no treatment for SARS-CoV-1.
I'll bet it's hanging out in the Bermuda Triangle. That's where it is.
Well, the virus vanished.
Yeah.
So it vanished from people. I'm sure it probably existed in a lab, but you know, I don't know, maybe it got lost. Hey, what'd you guys do with that Petri dish of SARS-CoV-1?
Yeah, we spilled it.
Oh, it's ready. Oh, shit. Oh, God. Hey, Dr. Smith, do we have another one of those? I just spilled this all over the floor. Whoops.
Seriously,
it just disappeared.
It didn't. In Frank's coffee. Let's see what happens to him.
No cure, no vaccine. Nothing. Just poof, gone.
Just went away.
And here's why this is really interesting.
How'd two come up?
Go do some research on this. SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19. There are now reports coming out from all over the world, top doctors in Italy came out with a report saying that they think the virus is dead. The virus load has weakened to a point to where they are now deeming the virus dead. This is starting to come up in other places as well.
Ran its course and it can't, like it's ran out of steam and it's just like, pfft.
Nobody knows because nobody understands what happens to the first one.
Holy shit.
And I mean, I read a white paper on SARS-CoV-1, preparing for the podcast. Really smart virologists, people that are way smarter than us.
Way, 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 way smarter.
Have no idea what happened to the first one.
Huh.
Just gone. And it's very likely that could happen with this one.
But, okay. So it's got to be sitting there dormant somewhere if the two is a similar strand of one. One disappeared and... Two somehow is mutated, I would assume mutated from one, or there's certain things that are just like coming together and it's like, boop, oh, we've just created another similar thing, but this one's different. And
well, and the other thing too, if you're going to hang it out there and start to speculate, maybe SARS-CoV-1 was way more infectious than we thought, but the virus weakened so quickly that all the passing around of it was asymptomatic and it never... you know, touched anybody's radar that it was a problem.
Pack a bunch.
Or that came could out absolutely of a, be the case. We don't know.
Or it came out of a lab.
Who knows?
That would be the other speculation. Like, hey, we created this one.
Elantra Jada.
Get
got be. The U.S. of A.
It'd have to be. Of course not. Nothing. We would never do that in the U.S.
They wouldn't drop the Petri dish on the floor.
Trump. Yeah. It's like, hey, let's try this again. We didn't do well with SARS-1. We remember that formula. Yeah, pull it out of the... look at the recipe I found. It was in my cookbook. Who knew it was there? I was going to bake some muffins, and lo and behold, there's SARS-1.
Pass out your virus cookbook recipe for the doctors on staff and Christmas.
Oh,
but seriously. Yeah.
It's like the first one disappeared. Bread.
You're already starting to see reports of this one weakening or dying. Where's that in the media? Don't hear it. In fact, what the media is doing is actively trying to discredit the reports that are coming out that say that this is weakening. And, you know, I don't know what to believe. I don't know if those doctors have an agenda in saying that.
Right.
But what we do know is that SARS-CoV-1 disappeared, and we have no idea why. It just disappeared on its own. So is it likely that this one could do the same thing? Yeah, I'd say it's likely or possible, whatever you want to say. But let me ask you a question.
But you know what they'll tell you? They'll say, well, it's because we've done all these protective measures. That's why which could be the case. I mean, because of taking the measures of quarantining and things like that and not allowing it to have the ability to jump from person to person as much to mutate itself and strengthen, it's like, I give up.
Well,
let
me ask you a question.
It's a possibility. We're trying to look at all angles and so.
Sure. But let me ask you a question, because I don't think there are forces that don't want this to go away. Let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. How many hundreds of billions of dollars do you think a company has to gain if a vaccine comes available for COVID?
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Huge.
I think he called the show a couple of weeks ago, didn't he?
Yeah.
One of those people?
A lot of, I mean, money on a scale that is hard to understand, probably trillions of dollars, now, really.
In all fairness, if they were smart, they'd at least keep testing, get the formula right. Yeah, you're not going to make anything right now, but if this thing ever comes up in another, 20 years, 30 years? I mean, things seem to cycle. So if it's another 20 years, guess what? You're ahead of the game now. Maybe you will have something that can get out in front of this if it rears its ugly head again.
It's possible. So, but my point is,
they're not going to think that way.
Right. The way that they're going to think is if it's weakening, but we're close to having a vaccine ready that's going to be approved. How do we string this out? Because we want this to still stay out there so we can keep fear in people so the whole world gets vaccinated. And it's trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
You might think of that and say, well, it's conspiracy theory or no, guys, they're right now.
Yeah,
there are companies spending millions and millions and millions of dollars on research because they want to catch that.
Well, they've also fucked the economy too by doing that for all these small business owners that can't keep their doors open and they had to shut down.
Sure.
It's their damn fault for that. I mean, I just got an email from somebody today. Chamber of Commerce has turned around. They're furloughing their staff because they ran out of money. I don't know. I'm speculating that. I shouldn't say that. They're furloughing their staff for a month because they said membership isn't up. People aren't doing the events. Where are they generating? It's like, I thought everybody was done with the furlough.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is like the first case of, we have to. We weren't able to survive. And this is the only way we're going to survive. And then you got these damn companies that, we got to make our trillions.
So I'm going to make a statement here, and it may be controversial, but in sharing all this information, what I really wanted to get to is, you know, what is the real threat level here? And you've heard so many people talk about, you know, comparing COVID-19 to the flu. Right. And saying, you know, that they're comparable in terms of the impact or whatever. And then you hear people say that you can't compare the two.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot compare the two. And I agree. You cannot compare the two. Here's my statement that I think is going to be controversial. And I want this to sink in. I think the flu is worse. And I'm going to tell you why.
Flu cases have gone down too, though. since we've taken these precautions.
Shocking. Oh, geez. That's not suspect at all. No, the flu is worse than COVID. Okay. And I'm going to tell you why. How long has the flu been around?
Forever and ever.
Yeah, forever and ever and ever and ever. The flu comes back every single year.
Mm-hmm.
Every year. A normal year for the U.S. is 65,000 people die from the flu. And that's confirmed cause of death, not the squishy reporting we're doing for COVID.
They died with the flu?
No, they died from the flu.
Yeah.
And it's every single year.
Yep.
And we have a vaccine for it.
We do. How good of a vaccine is it?
Well, what do you hear every year? The flu season breaks out. People start getting sick. And every single year, this is what you hear on the news. Well, this year, the flu vaccine, you know, focused on the A strain, and the B strain is the one that's spreading.
Yeah. And then they came out with the B strain this year, actually.
It's the A strain this year. It's like, what the fuck, man?
Well, it's not even... but when you talk to other people about that, it's... The flu shot that you're getting this year really isn't to protect you for this year. It's to protect you for future flu. So you're building those antibodies for when that strain comes around again or a similar strain. And that's why you're supposed to go get it from year to year. So it's not supposed to be like immediate. I know that if I'm wrong,
I'm not anti-flu vaccine.
But I've had some people in the medical field say, you're not protecting yourself for this. You're protecting yourself for future. And whether that's right or not, you guys can send email. I'm just repeating conversations had. I don't know the answer.
I'm not anti-flu vaccine. I'm not.
I don't get them. I have.
So I was getting them for years.
And then?
The worst flu I was ever getting in my life was during the years when I was getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
No shit. Is it coincidence? Probably.
Your body probably is like, hey, come on to the party instead of, oh, we don't want to fight this. We like this little guy. Let him.
The worst flu I ever got was in 2012.
What'd you get?
And I was, I don't know what strain, it was just flu, but I had been vaccinated the 3 years leading up to that. You know, so I mean, I was getting my flu vaccine.
And with all the traveling that you were doing back then.
Yeah, I wasn't doing a lot of international travel at that time. No. And I got a strain of the flu that it came on so fast. Like I went to work and when I got to the office, I was kind of clammy and like, I feel like I might be getting a fever. Within an hour, I'm like, oh, I'm sick as fuck. I got to get out of here.
And when I was driving home. You had it in December, January, you came in here and you're like, I'm not feeling good. I got a headache. And you went home and you were out for.
When I was driving home from work that day.
Yeah.
I almost passed out on the highway.
Oh, shit.
My peripheral vision started coming and I'm like, oh fuck, I'm passing out. And I was able to get off the highway and pulled into a Wendy's and got a cup of water right before I passed out.
Jeez.
And I barely made it to the doctor. I mean, I was, you know, 105 fever. I mean, I was sick. I had the flu shot, you know? And is that anecdotal? Yes. It's 100% anecdotal.
Sure.
The other anecdotal point is, I've had the flu way less on the years that I don't get it, but that's a side story. My point is, we've got a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been able to cure the flu. It comes back every year. It comes out with new strains. Some of those strains are extremely deadly.
Hell yeah.
And it's there perpetually. SARS-CoV-1 was here for not even 2 years, 2002, 2003, and then it vanished. Jury's out on this one, but I think it's going to be the same. I think it's going to go away. My personal, all the stuff that I've read, I think it's very likely that it's going to go away. And so, yes, when you compare the two, I think the flu is worse. It's awful. And it impacts children. It kills kids every year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's no joke. In the death tolls that we get on it are accurate because we're reporting it properly.
And we've talked about those. We gave those numbers back in March. And
yeah.
We said, here's the comparison, COVID, the flu, boom. So you can go back and look at the CDC or the WDO and look at their reports. I mean, those facts are there.
So but, if you're sitting here listening to us and you're going to follow along, you're going to go do your fact checking and you're going to.
I got a good one after that too.
What is it?
Where to go and look at some facts that'll really freak you out.
Oh yeah.
Go to the Farmer's Almanac.
Mm.
They have been spot on with this. I don't know how they do it. I really don't know how the Farmer's Almanac does it, but as far as this is, these cases have been around, they reported this, like, you read the Farmer's Almanac back and I forget what it was. Somebody sent me this thing. I'm like, you're freaking kidding me. This is bullshit. And I went and found it online. I'm like, yep, it's in there. I'm like, how do they do this?
I don't know, man. Magic.
Yeah, no.
It's weird.
No. They're not like, what's his face? The astronomer from whatever his name, Nostradamus.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the eagle will rise up from the west and do this. And, you know, my God, put the pipe down, buddy.
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to do your fact checking and you're going to try to come to some conclusions about what's happened in all this, I don't know where you're, what your baseline is, but you may have to face the fact that you've been lied to.
Right.
And that's not easy. And I'm going to share something with you, sure, that I just saw a couple of days ago. This to me is just an example of how effed up things are. So you'll probably remember this, but going back to early in the COVID days, the CDC came out and said that masks will not help with the spread of the disease. Remember that?
Mm.
And then they reversed course on it.
Right.
And said, oh, well, you know, upon further evaluation, we think masks are helpful. Okay. It just came out last week that Dr. Fauci admitted that the reason why they made that statement is because there was a shortage of masks and they wanted to make sure that those masks were available for frontline healthcare workers and hospitals.
Okay.
What the fuck? Are you kidding me?
I could have at least said that. And obviously, I mean, you are.
Dude.
The frontline people do need it. But.
Yes.
But.
That's a big whopper of a freaking lie.
Where they also made a big, and maybe I'm wrong, check your facts, but just having a mask is better than none at all. Instead of saying, oh, it has to be. The only effective mask is an N19 or N95 mask, which you could buy in the hardware store. I didn't realize that. I had some downstairs. I even said, here, take these to the hospital with you. But, and those are for the more serious case when you're dealing with the patients.
Sure,
but just in general, having something covering, and it's, they always say, it's not, you're protecting other people from you. You're keeping that shit in. Not somebody else giving it to you. And that's the whole point of having the mask on. But, you know.
Well, my whole point.
That was, he admitted it finally?
Yes.
Why the fuck just not stay quiet about that?
I don't know.
That's
just
like
the audacity to even come out and admit that, right?
Dumbest things. But he was like, Trump was getting ready to tweet it. I might as well beat him into the punch.
Yeah, oh shit. He'll probably call me some name or something, so I better just come out and say it. But dude, how crazy is that?
That's nuts.
That just goes to show you that the government is willing to put your life in danger for, you know, I mean, like, that's crazy. Right. Why lie about it? Why not come out? Because I think the responsible thing would have been to say, we believe it will stop the spread, but please refrain from buying our healthcare workers. Make the case for it. Don't lie.
But you know what? They were stealing. I mean, you talk to some doctors, they had to remove stuff from the patients, from the wait, you know, the rooms, the patient rooms, because the patients were stealing their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, part of it, yeah, I get it's fear, but the other part is just like, you really, come on. The doctors need this stuff. And they were stealing stuff out of the hospital supply cabinets, everything else. When it...
Well, and the lying has come from the government. It's come from the media. I remember back in April, there was a report on the hospitals in New York overcrowding. And they showed footage from the hospitals.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, Jesus, man, that's pretty bad. It was footage from fucking Italy. And they got busted. Was there big retractions and, no? And dude, they know where that stuff comes from. That's not like a oops.
There's some other things that they stage.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, look, this hospital's overcrowded. Okay, you guys, we paid you your $10.
All right, everybody out.
We were shooting a scene for a movie. Somebody just thought that it was a real shot from a hospital.
I thought I was getting $20. Yeah. Now you get 10, get out. But yeah, I mean, there's been an incredible amount of dishonesty in all this. And it's tough to have to face that, you know, maybe you've been lied to. But that's where we're at. It's crazy. And so, you know, here's where I line up on things. You know, when you talk about the risk or the threat and masks and all that, I firmly believe that at this point, all of the stuff, the masks, everything, all those things that we did, it was all based on shit data.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can argue about the intention or the motivations behind that, like with the hospital stuff. So overinflating for monetary reasons. Was it hospital administrators? Was it doctors? Was it really nefarious where they're like, oh my God, we need money?
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to do this? Or was it like, you know what? It's possible. So let's just go ahead and do it, you know, type of thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know the right motivations. What I do know is that hospitals have gone bankrupt during this period and more are going to go bankrupt. And I know that we know all the facts. We know what's happened up to this point.
Right.
And you can't look at this and not question and not. And then the other thing too, even if every COVID death that was reported is real,
mm-hmm.
even if, what the hell are we doing? Okay. Because the last number I looked at was like, it was 110,000 or whatever.
US?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Even if that's real, that's a bad flu season.
10,000, 2.2 million, 110,000. Right. There's something. Yeah.
5% of the estimate.
Mm. Big difference.
Right. Even if that's the case, a normal year for the US, there's over 100,000 people that die of the flu
mm-hmm.
and norovirus, the stomach bug, every year. Over 100,000.
Which you had.
Yes. Not so good.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Believe me, you can die of dehydration, folks.
You have the norovirus.
but that's every single year.
Yeah.
So is it worth doing the things that we did over? Don't get me wrong.
Air pollution did get better in some nations than countries where the air pollution sucked. So if for nothing else, I mean, they hit a quality of air that was like, oh, this is breathable now. This is healthy. India, China, places
don't,
like
and
that.
And I don't want anybody to get me wrong. And if you're pissed off, send me an email.
So there's but a good thing about that.
I'm not saying that, you know, life isn't precious or mm-hmm. or being cavalier about it, because anybody that dies, it's tragic.
Well, in all fairness, they have shown that, you know, all of a sudden you get these massive groups together. Hell, it happened in Atlanta when they were doing their protests. They were marching. And how many cases came out of that because you had so many people packed together?
I don't know.
Okay. But go check the facts, folks. But also check your facts from sources that you wouldn't normally.
That's the biggest thing.
Okay. So, yeah, you could be like, I always read the Washington Times or
MSNBC
New York Times,
says.
MSNBC. But there are, if you're going to do it, go to the AP Press. Go to listen to BBC Radio. Listen to or read.
Read academic papers.
Yeah.
I mean,
anything.
I've read several papers over the past couple of months. I mean,
you can find it. It's out there for you.
It is.
But you may have to dig a little, but don't just go, I'm going to Google this, or go to Yahoo and I just read the little byline and I'm going to trust exactly what they just said. That's it. I'm done. Use your brain.
Yeah, it's
use
weird.
Your intuition.
Even
you
if,
owe it to yourself and you owe it to the, I mean, your fellow man to do the same damn thing.
Yeah, even if the numbers are real,
fellow woman,
it's a bad flu season mm-hmm. in terms of total deaths, and that's awful. But again, we're talking about one thing that's undisputed. Going back to facts of all the people that have died,
right?
There are people with pre-existing conditions or health risks. You know, I mean the one thing I was reading about a healthcare worker that, you know, frontline healthcare worker dies of COVID. That's the headline.
But that's not the real truth.
Well, you dig in, and the frontline healthcare worker was a nurse that was obese, had diabetes, had health issues with her heart, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, that's not a healthy person. It's tragic
yes,
that she died.
So.
And even if COVID caused it, it could have been another sickness. If her health was that bad and her immune system was compromised and she was very unhealthy, it could have been stomach flu. It could have been the regular flu. It could have been a lot of things that tipped her over the edge. And, you know, it's again, tragic.
Sure.
We're not talking about how do we make that person healthier? which we did. We had an episode about that. Yeah.
Excuse me.
It's been billions and billions. No, it's two. People, sorry, two. Two people.
There's more than one person. There's more than one people. It's two people. So you have to put the S on the end.
The plural of people is whatever I say it is.
Mooses. Okay. Geeses is more than.
Is it gooses or geeses or I don't care. Okay.
Maybe we should Gary B back on to give us some more
some inspirational phrase.
Yeah. Oh, I swear I'm going to stop answering
the phone. Birds of a feather make a bunch of weather. What?
You know, it's the unicorn effect. I mean, the butterfly, whatever.
So what do we do? Yeah. What do we do?
Personally, I mean, this and our show is always about business.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, that's what we need to talk about. How do we get this economy cranking again?
Right. Right. I don't know the answer. I mean, honestly, go support local, go support.
Well, I think the first thing, first and foremost, and this is what I think is the most critical point and that everybody should be able to rally behind. And that is you should do whatever you're comfortable with.
Yes. Yeah.
And it shouldn't be, you know, coming down from up high.
Hell, we have friends who still aren't going to, you know, they're like, I'm not coming out yet. Or if I do, it's going to be very limited outdoors. And then they're going back. I'm not one of those people. You're not. But I'm also not going to, holy crap, there's a massive gathering and I'm going to put myself in the middle of the 500 people who have decided to gather. No. So where I'm comfortable is different than maybe, you know, where you are or this other person is. You've got to decide. And then, and also take care.
But we need
wash
to
wash your hands as you usually do, right? Do the basic stuff that we've been doing.
So I feel comfortable shaking hands, hugging people. You know, I am comfortable being 100% normal.
Mm-hmm. No, like you're not normal.
Well, my normal.
Okay. All right. Let's just get that.
May not be your normal. That's where I'm at. I'm totally comfortable with back to where I was prior to COVID. Mm-hmm. And that's me. If you're not that comfortable and you want to wear a mask and gloves or you don't want to go somewhere, then that should be your decision. Mm-hmm. But if I'm making the decision and I want to do something and I'm with a bunch of other willing participants, we shouldn't allow a government to get in the middle of us, especially because what I'm focused on is I'm focused on getting healthy.
Right.
I've spent a lot of time looking at my diet, looking at my activity level, getting lots of sun and vitamin D. And, you know, I'm trying to do the things to boost my immune system. So if I do come in contact with it, I don't even get it.
Right.
That's my focus.
Shields are up and they're at 100% power, Captain.
I mean, Jesus, I look at my youngest, Levi.
Oh, jeez.
The kid's got the immune system of a tank because he is literally covered in dirt 24/7. So it's like I'm taking a page out of his book. That's my strategy. But whatever yours is, you should be able to do that. I think that's fundamental. And I think when we let government have the kind of power to say, this business can open, this business cannot. You can do this, but not that. You can go in this place and do these things, but you can't go in that place and do those things. Mm-hmm. That is a very, very slippery slope, and it's not good.
No.
Because even if you agree with it now, somebody else is going to get in office and seize that power and do things that you don't like so much.
Right. I can understand. I mean, I can understand taking the precautions. If your business is whatever it might be, and it has a large group of people that are converging for whatever that event or something. Say you go to the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel comfortable. I'd like to go back to the movies. I know the movie theater would love to have people, but do they do every other row and every fourth seat or whatever it is? I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I get to eat popcorn all by myself and not have to share. But, you know, something's better than nothing.
But let me give you an example of the absurdity. I went and got new license plates the other day, so I had to go to the tag office.
I gotta go there.
And when I went, they take your temperature when you come in,
mm-hmm.
which I think is bullshit.
Gotta wear a mask.
Gotta wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to stay 6 feet separated from people at all times, including Darren, the person you came in with.
What?
You cannot sit next to the person you came in with. You cannot stand 6 feet from them.
Do you have one of the kids with you?
No, but I watched other people that came in together.
Oh my goodness.
And they forced them apart. And it's like, oh my God, they were in the same fucking car on the way here. They sleep in the same bed. They do it.
Oh, so it was a young couple.
Yes. It's like, dude, let them sit next to each other.
Right.
They both have freaking masks on and they can't even sit. I mean, oh my God.
That's asinine.
It's freaking asinine. And you see this kind of stuff. So my point is, like, if restaurants right now in our area have been able to reopen. That's not the case everywhere.
No, it's not.
But they have to reopen with 25% of their normal capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Or 50% of their normal capacity, depending on their tables and size and all that stuff. Well, who the fuck can run a business with half their revenue or less? I have no idea. No, you're not going
to
survive.
Some of them have like tried to modify it where it's like, well, just put people outside as best we can.
But they're trying
to make up for that.
It's desperation to try to, what they need to do is they need to get back to their business model.
Right.
Not the model that government's telling them exists. And look, here's the thing. I think that they should be able to operate 100% normal. And if you're not comfortable with that, don't go out.
Don't go out. Well, there's one restaurant that they actually have the distancing for the tables. But at the bar, they don't. And people are just sitting there, you know, elbow to elbow at the bar, but everywhere else in the restaurant, they have the social distancing and you can eat dinner at the bar. You can have drinks at the bar.
You got liquid antibiotics.
And what's so funny is the majority of the people who are up there are older. When I pop in there sometimes, they're older and they're side by side. So they're the higher risk group. You know, it's like these people are like 65, 70 years old and they didn't come in with them. They're all, it's just a couple of couple. And just lined up. It's like, well, you don't have to do it here, but you're doing it in the rest of your restaurant. Why?
I mean,
doesn't make sense.
I really believe that we should be allowing people to make their own decisions, do what they're comfortable with.
Right.
And what that means for you is you got to be vocal. Talk to other business people about this. Talk to your friends about it. If you ever have a chance to go to a city council meeting or, you know, you're whatever the case, be vocal.
Those are frustrating.
Oh, they are. But be vocal because we've got to start to rise up and make some noise about this because if you're scared and you want to shelter in place and you want to have a mask in public and you want to wear rubber gloves and you're scared, that's okay. Do those things. Don't force me to if I'm not in the same boat.
Right.
That's not how we've operated. And I've told so many people this, and I'll talk about it again because maybe I've mentioned this on the show before, but my wife's mother died of cancer. And when she was sick, she was going through chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going through chemo, you have no immune system at all.
Nope.
And so they were very serious with us about this. They said, you know, you need to wear masks around her. She needs to wear a mask. You know, shouldn't be going out in public. If you're out in public, you need to keep your distance. I mean, there's all these things. So our responsibility at that time when she was on chemo and she was at her worst, our responsibility was we need to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
And we took extra steps to make sure that we didn't get sick and therefore get her sick.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing things that nobody around us was doing. We were avoiding restaurants. We were wearing masks in the house. We were, you know, we were doing things that nobody else was even thinking of. The neighbors weren't even thinking of. It wasn't even a thing for them.
Right.
Because it's not their responsibility. It was ours. We were protecting her. And the same thing has existed forever. You know, this happens all the time. You know, the family of somebody that's sick like that is taking the steps to protect that person.
Mm-hmm.
We have a friend that, you know, her husband had a heart attack last year. It was one of those that was the widowmaker heart attack, but he survived.
Oof.
And his heart function was really low when he came out. And doctor told him, you so much as catch a cold, man, you're probably not going to make it.
Right.
So they had to be very careful about exposing him to people that could be sick. And they took all the responsibility. They weren't expecting everybody else to do it for them.
Sure.
So I think that we need to treat things that same way right now. And what's crazy, Darren, is that that has almost become a controversial position.
Yeah, it has.
Because there's been times I've had conversations with people and I'll explain that that's what I think. And they're like, oh, well, you value money more than
right.
than people's lives. And it's like, oh, my God.
That's not what I was saying.
No.
Right.
That's treating this like it's a binary mm-hmm. decision. It's either economy and money or lives. Those are your two choices.
Can you have both? Can you have all of it?
I think.
Can you blend it?
We put a fucking man on the moon.
Yeah.
I think we could probably do both.
Well, we really didn't.
No. If you really want to put your foil hat on.
Oh, shoot.
Why was that flag flapping in the wind?
I forgot. It's been like 19 days since SpaceX went up there.
It was lunar wind. Okay. There's wind on the moon. Frankly, I learned this. Okay. When I was reading my Dr. Seuss book.
Okay. Frankly. Anyway. Okay. But SpaceX went up. How long? They should be. That was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just a side note. They should be at the station now. Wow.
Just dropping in.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's the aside. But yes, you should. I don't, the person who wants to stay at home that's still, you know, and I understand that they're scared and they have their reasons, whether they're, I can say, well, your reasons aren't valid for staying home and wearing a mask all the time and, you know, freaking out. You're okay. You should come out into the public. Well, that's not my judgment call for them.
They should be free to make that decision themselves.
And that's the
just like I should be free to do.
Live in this country.
Absolutely. It's
I think there's some foundation that says something like let freedom ring, right?
Yeah, man.
Huh. Who knew? Who da thunk?
It's my favorite song, Let Freedom Sing.
Oh, jeez. Shut up, Gary. Shut up, Gary. So anyway, yeah.
So I think that we need to be really vocal about that. I think that you need to talk to people about it. And the other thing too is when you have dialogue about this kind of stuff, don't make it personal. Don't attack people.
No.
I mean, what I'm doing is I'm sharing facts. If I was sitting down with somebody that really disagreed with my position and was being nasty, I'd talk to him the same way I'm talking to you now.
Yeah.
Dude, go look it up. Facts are facts, and I'm being intellectually honest all throughout this show on the things that I have made an assumption or I'm drawing a conclusion on. I've said that.
Yes.
I'm not sitting here saying something like it's a fact if I can't prove it.
Well, I mean, just like you always assume anything that comes out of my mouth is total bullshit. So
well, that's a fact.
I mean, I know. Oh, that is. That's true.
If we're trying to, yes.
Oh, where's Mr.
Winnie? I call Winnie? Him like I see him, okay?
Where is Mr. Winnie today, by the way?
His wife has a procedure today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that was a little, well, hopefully she gets through it very well, but I know he's gone back to work too, hasn't he?
Yes. Yeah. And that's, thank I mean, goodness. And again, that's one of those things where.
Economy's coming around.
Babe. Well, maybe. We're not out of the woods.
No, we, I know we're not out of the woods. There's some, what's scary is there's some, from a business standpoint, and we always talk about this, is some of the businesses have had time to do a little introspection. Is that the right word?
Yep.
Inflecting inward, if you choose for a different word, and look to see.
Thinking about things.
Thinking about things like where they're
stuff.
A little okay. top heavy, trim the fat a little bit. Necessary trim the fat. Mm-hmm. Some companies have become bloated over the years, and this kind of, you know, in a positive way, is shown the light on them. And yes, it sucks that people are going to get laid off or fired or forced to retire. They're going to get a retirement yep. package here and there. We keep hearing it because our city is buzzing with so many Delta employees.
Sure.
And the pilots I know are shitting their pants. Some of them like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what's
sure.
happening. But that, if you can keep your business afloat and make things a little leaner, that will help the economy in the long run, because that business, would you rather them shut down because they can't afford it? But anyway, totally different thing. It's good to have that interflection. People have had to change their business models to survive. Small, mid-sized businesses, it's like, hey, I've had to look at this and I've recorrected, you know, I've changed the course of my ship and I'm going to come out better. But I never would have looked at this if I hadn't. And oh my gosh, I didn't know that I was actually bleeding over here and I've fixed that. And look at, I'm coming out healthier with my business. So mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of good things that have come from this SARS-2.
Yes. SARS-CoV-2.
SARS-CoV-2.
That's the scientific okay. name.
It's better than saying COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2. Yes. So,
well, and here's the thing.
I'm trying to... You know, these are positive things that
there are some things that we can take away from this. And I use the time to really think about our operations and our business and get projects done around the house. So hopefully you're trying to find some positive things for your, but let's face it, man, there are companies that have gone out of business,
mm-hmm.
no fault of their own.
No,
doesn't matter what. No. They just went out of business. I mean, you know, I think the national numbers on restaurants is they operate on like 5% margins. And what we've done to the restaurant industry in this country is appalling. Mm-hmm. It is appalling. There are still places, like you said earlier, there are still parts of this country that are just completely shut down.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you've got restaurants that have been closed for 3 months that typically operate on 5% margins. And we threw them a fucking bone through the CARES Act.
Yeah.
2 months. Of fucking payroll.
Right. Oh, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't spend it all in one place. 2 months. And that's if you were able to get the money.
Right. If. Because it went out the door.
What the hell?
Yeah, they keep...
So we have not seen the end of this. Because then the other thing, too, is like, you know, we're a little bit ahead in Georgia. So we have started to proverbially swing open the doors mm-hmm. before other areas. But they're still requiring restaurants to keep 6 feet distance and to, you know, not only open certain, they're not going to make it. So many restaurants are trying so hard right now. They're not going to make it. Right. It's fucking bullshit.
Stop by your local brewery, pick up a 6-pack, pick up some to-go food, support your local restaurant, help them out.
That's one of the things that you can do is get in there and support businesses like you haven't before. If you've got the ability, you know, I'm spending money on things that honestly, if I was, you know, if I kind of look at the future, the next year or two, and I think here's worst case scenario, here's best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
If worst case scenario happens, the things that I'm spending money on right now, not too smart.
But I can't wait to come over to your
But
house.
I'm not going to live in that world.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and be this terrible pessimist and say, I'm not going to do anything. In fact, what I'm doing is I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm going to say, damn it, I'm going to do my part to keep the economy going. Going out to lunches and dinners when I can. I'm spending money on projects and doing things that should I be doing? Fuck it.
No, gonna do it.
I'm doing it.
I'm out there, Jerry.
And I'm loving every minute of it. I mean, so, that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you've got the capability, if we all withdraw,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to make it through this.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure. you need to make some noise about what we should be allowed to do. You know,
yeah,
it's shocking to me some of the states how onerous their requirements have been. And we were talking about restaurants. Here's a crazy thing. And this is an absolute reality here in the U.S. So for the states that have allowed restaurants to open back up, in a lot of cases, what you have is you've got federal guidelines. Then you've got state guidelines.
Here we go.
Then you've got county guidelines.
Yeah.
And then city guidelines. All from COVID. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, the four may contradict each other in certain areas.
Oh, yeah.
So which one do I do?
Don't know.
I'm not sure. I mean, seriously, that is a reality today because nobody's thought through this. Everybody's like, oh, well, let's just do it. And nobody's thinking through it because government's not very good at that.
Mm, no.
And here we are. Yeah. So we've got to make some noise. We've got to support small businesses. Take some risk. You know, this is a time to take a little risk if you can.
Time to share the podcast with some of your friends.
Yes.
There you go.
And the other thing is, and I think this is probably one of the biggest things that you can do to help yourself, your business, and other businesses is to stay away from traditional media. Stay away from social media to the extent that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And try to be positive. Try to find, you know, do your own, you know, fact checking if you want to know what's really going on in the world.
Yep.
But do that when you need to. Stay away from the big media sources and just try to be positive.
share a Lime Creek beer with your friends and
damn
your
right, man. That'd be awesome. I don't watch any traditional media anymore.
I can't.
They have all broken trust with me in ways that are so severe. Like, I'm just never going back. And a lot of it's team sport stuff, you know, it's like, is my news right, liberal or conservative or whatever? It doesn't matter anymore.
Hey, they're back playing golf. They had the races on. Nobody's in the stands,
which is stupid.
Nobody's on the golf course, but you know, they're out there. At least they're trying to get back to normal. It's like, oh boy, people need, they need this TV. They need their sports. They need something to watch besides.
You see this right here, Darren, you know what this is? This is an empty can of chinchillin. Can you give me a full one?
Oh,
I need that in my life right now.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, there are some, like, you know, racing. Okay. Empty stands. Make some noise. Freaking, you know, don't miss an opportunity to, you know, email a sanctioning body or, you know, go on a social media account. Say, I want to see fans.
I know.
In the stands.
Like friends of mine, they're big football fans, soccer fans. But they say it's football, and they were happy. Like, the Premier League just started this week. Nobody's in the stands, but they're out there. What, NASCAR was last week? PGA started back up, and when's F1 coming around?
July.
So I know hockey's, they're practicing. We're going to go right into like a round robin playoff series.
Yeah, but are they going to be wearing masks on the ice?
Which kind?
Does nobody care about the hockey players?
Which kind? Well, they wear the half mask, you know, to protect their, you know, from here up. Nobody cares about their teeth, but they probably should wear a full mask. Everybody's going to be wearing goalie masks.
But with an N95 what? Underneath it.
That's,
coach, I can't breathe. I can only do 20 second shifts.
Epoxy.
Why is everybody passed out?
Everybody's going to the penalty box on purpose. There's no oxygen. line change. You were just got out there.
Hook me up to the tank.
Yeah. So it'll be good to get back into that though. But so I think we've pretty much covered this.
Well, really listen, I think the biggest thing is get out there and do your homework, you know, find the facts. And like today, when we walked through all this stuff, you heard the facts. And if you go out and check them, you're going to realize that everything that we've said that's fact is true.
And Jake told me not to check the facts.
No, you're just too lazy.
He basically said, listen, we're just going to have this conversation. If anything you've researched already, don't just stop. So we can have some amazing.
If I'm wrong, I want you to figure out what it is. And then in a future episode, we will talk about what it is that we got wrong. But
please,
we didn't
submit it to us.
We
would love. And if you do come up with additional facts based on whatever fact finding mission you choose to take upon from that we've inspired you to do, we'd love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear from somebody that just said, thank you for, you know, lighting up my brain on this section here. And you sparked my curiosity, and I went out and did some research, and here's what I found.
The biggest thing is, don't live in fear. I mean, I think really, ultimately, that's the biggest thing. Even if you're not comfortable going in public without wearing a mask, mm-hmm. even if you're that person that drives the car by themselves right. with the mask and rubber gloves on.
Please don't. Not by yourself, please.
Sorry, don't do that. Yeah, please, do that's that. Just dumb. But
the only fear you should live in is if you were going to run out of Lime Creek beer in your fridge.
That's
something to be scared of.
I would freak out.
Or bourbon in the pantry to back it up and be like, what?
That gives me the shakes now. But seriously, even if you're that person that wants to wear the mask in the car, be precautious.
Yes.
Do things to prevent. Don't live in fear. If we live in fear,
like cut holes in the mask so you can breathe.
I almost died. Dude, I wore a mask for the first and only time since this happened when I went to the DMV.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they were. God, dude, I'm about fucking passed out.
You don't have any clients now when you're showing houses that
nobody,
are.
Nobody. And I ask,
are they wearing masks themselves?
I've had one person mm-hmm. in the past 6 weeks.
Okay.
And I asked if they were comfortable with me not wearing one. Oh, yeah. But everybody's.
I'm sure you will have one or two. They'll be like, please wear one. I'd appreciate it if you did.
I haven't had one yet.
I know, but.
But if it, but I will if right. that's where you're at, I will.
You have to. I just want you to wear them because I don't want to see that ugly mug.
Well, I don't blame you. But my whole point is, you know, we can't live in fear. So even if you want to be precautious and try to prevent, that's fine. But once you start living in fear, there's no good outcome.
No.
And the last thing...
Are you going to cause stress to your body and weaken your immune system that way?
Absolutely.
You know, that's the catalyst.
And this will be a memory at some point. Either the virus will disappear, like we talked about, or there'll be a vaccine, you know, but the threat will go away. And when it does, are we going to be left with a society where people are wearing masks all the time and don't want to shake hands and don't want to hug? I sure as fuck hope not.
No.
Because to me, that world's not worth living in. Those basic tenets of touch and affection and being able to smile at somebody, like sometimes everything in your day could be completely screwed up. I mean, completely jacked up sideways, and somebody gives you a smile.
That's all it takes.
And it erases all of that, and it becomes the one thing that you're like, all right, today was okay, you know? Mm-hmm. A little gesture like that. If we take away the most powerful elements of being human out of fear, I'm telling you, man, I don't think that ends well.
Not at all.
Not at all.
So it was, I'm just laughing here. Something that is, here's something really quick. The benefits of hugging.
Okay.
Wow. Hugs reduce stress by showing your support. Hugs may protect you against illness. Hugs may boost your heart health.
Hold on. Can you read number two again?
Hugs may protect you against illness.
I thought they got us sick.
Yeah, no. 20-second. And a hug has to be for 20 seconds to have health benefits. They can help you make you happier, reduce your fears, reduce your pain, and help you communicate others. So, I mean, this is what happens when you hug someone for 20 seconds. It alleviates stress, beating burnout. According to a book, the lingering embraces releases a bonding hormone,
oxytocin,
which can lower your blood pressure, slower your heart rate, and improve your mood. I mean, you want to take that away from us?
No, I don't. I mean, it's absolutely true.
If you don't want to hug me, that's great. That's your prerogative. But the people who do, I don't want to live in fear of not having to. And we were joking about that last night. It's like we're meeting somebody and they're like, do I not? Shake the hand, go to the elbow, do the what? And it's like, just get in here. Just give me a bro hug, man. We're here. Boom, done.
I just go for it anymore when I meet somebody. I just stick my hand out. If they don't feel comfortable, they'll tell me.
Yeah.
But.
Well, when you try to put your tongue in their mouth, Jake, that's a little too far.
I at least wait until we've got to know each other for half an hour or so. It's about normal, right?
sure it is.
Well, hopefully we've motivated you and inspired you like Gary B.
Oh, boy.
To get out there and do some research and come to some conclusions. I think ultimately the takeaways I'd like you to have from this is, number one, you can't believe the media and the government anymore. So go out there and do your own research, make your own conclusions, do some critical thinking, because, you know, common sense is usually going to lead you in the right direction. And anything that you can do to support local business,
please
do it. I mean, just, we really got to lean in right now. The solutions to the position that we're in economically are not going to come from the top. They're not going to come from government.
No.
If you look to them to solve things, you get the CARES Act.
Okay.
Enough said. Yikes. Well, hope this has been helpful for you guys. I hope we've given you some perspective and some stuff to think about. And we also want to make sure that you support our official brewery, Darren. Our
official brewery, Line Creek Brewery. They are back to their regular business hours.
Yes.
This week. Normal business hours. Tap room is open.
Yummy.
I'm looking to move my apps around here. So the tap room's open. They are, go to their website and you can see their schedule. They actually have live music again. The food trucks are coming back in. Their regular hours are back to like 4 to 9 during the week. 4 to 10. They might even be open earlier on the weekends. Sorry, guys, I'm not prepared.
I think it's noon. I think they open at noon on Saturdays, right?
Saturdays are probably noon. Their website is needs to... They still have to change their website and get everything updated.
I'm pretty sure it's noon.
Yeah. And then on Saturday, I know it's noon because I've been there.
I'm speaking from experience. Okay. And I think
Sunday is 12:30, but they have a new cool shirt on their rack too that you can buy. It's a long sleeve one with mule dough on it.
Sweet.
So check out their events page or find them on Facebook. They have amazing beer. You could drink it there and or take it home with you. You can find it in your local bottle shops or package stores. There is one beverage liquor store in town that now has a throne that was built out of, you know, the sales and marketing team built a Line Creek throne in one of the local liquor stores, nice. Which you could sit down in and get a picture taken. So if
I might need to do that.
If you find that, email us and
or tag us on social.
Or tag us, and we've got some beer and business koozies, and we will send them to you.
And then
for doing that,
don't forget Launch and Go Workspace. If you are looking for a place to work that's not your house with barking dogs and kids going crazy, this is where you want to come. If you just need a desk for the day or you want a dedicated office, make sure you go to launchandgoworkspace.com. If you're anywhere in the Atlanta area, this is a place you need to be.
That's it.
That's it, man. Cool. And if you got a podcast to record, you can do it here because we've got all the cool stuff. And if you've got computers, which we know you do because you're not doing business in the Roman time, you need Overwatch because...
My abacus is outdated. Right?
Yes. Well, abacuses didn't get viruses, but computers do. Mm-hmm. And they get malware and all this other crazy stuff. There are so many bad actors trying to get in there. You want to keep them out. So go to overwatch.technology. They gave us a tech tip today. You know, there's going to be a lot more work from home stuff mm-hmm. on this point forward. That's one of the things that's going to come out of this. And even if it's not people, you know, I think a lot of cases, what's going to happen is you're going to see this flexibility in working where maybe you go into the office 4 days a week and you have one day that you're away from the office, or if you're not feeling good, you got kind of telework flexibility, but inevitably there's going to be people working at home or in co-working spaces that haven't before. And here's something very interesting. Data compiled by researchers at the cybersecurity company Tessian reveal that over half of the employees believe that they can get away with riskier behavior when working from home.
Huh.
So that means things like sharing confidential files over email or plugging in a USB drive to a work computer, things that they wouldn't be allowed to do in the office. So just know that if they're not in the confines of the office, they feel a little bit more comfortable to maybe take some risks. So the most important thing that you should do is if you've got more work from home happening in your business, it's really important that you provide education. It's vital. So do it. Make sure that you explain to people what happens when they take those kind of risks, and it will really pay off.
That's it. Awesome.
So folks, fun. Yeah, this has been good. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you next week. Peace.